We've already heard about how flu actually causes disease, how it invades us, how it hijacks our cells and makes us feel generally grotty. But how do we actually prevent it? John Wood is from NIBSC. That's the National Institute of Biological Standards and Controls, which means he works with flu vaccines. Hi, John.
Hello.
So what's in a flu vaccine that prevents us from getting sick, and does it actually work?
Well, most of the flu vaccines are produced. The virus is grown in hen's eggs, and the viruses are purified from the hen's egg fluids. They're chemically treated, so they're no longer capable of infecting people. And then these purified virus particles or components of them, they are used to give to patients by usually intramuscular injection. And this in turn stimulates the body's immune system into thinking that they've actually been invaded by flu. They've caught flu.
So in other words, you're showing this viral shrapnel to the immune system, so it gets a kind of sneaky preview of what the virus looks like. So yeah. It makes an immune response. Does it make as good or an immune response as if you actually catch the flu?
It's thought not. The best way of stimulating a robust immune response, which will give you protection for months and months to come, is an infection itself.
We had an email from a question from Mark in Bletchley, who says, I've been in contact with someone who's had the flu quite badly, but I didn't catch it. Why would that be?
Well, I don't know the particular circumstances. It's possible, I hope, that maybe he had a vaccine, but maybe not. He could have been exposed to flu, a related flu in the past, which gave him some immunity. Maybe he didn't know he'd been exposed to flu in the past. It may have been a kind of subclinical infection. He didn't know this. I expect he had some kind of immunity.
Ed was saying that the flu mutates as it goes around the world, and this is why we get consistent outbreaks year on year. So how do you make sure the vaccine is going to work every year?
This is a big problem, and the World Health Organization has a worldwide network of laboratories. They have, I think, over 120 so-called national influenza centres around the world, and they monitor the newly emerging flu viruses. They analyse them, and they compare them with the previous year's flu viruses. Specifically, they're looking at the surface proteins to see how much they vary, because these are the hypervariable part of the virus. And then the activities of these national centres, they are coordinated by four WHO collaborating centres. We have one here in the UK at Mill Hill in London, one at CDC in Atlanta, one in Tokyo and one in Melbourne. And these, the directors of these centres, they come together twice a year in Geneva, the headquarters of the WHO, to analyse all the data. I'm fortunate that I'm kind of asked along, because they like to have some of the key regulating laboratories as well, because we have to deal with a kind of fallout from any new strain recommendation. So we look at all the data. We look at how the immune system stimulated by last year's vaccine recognises the new vaccines. We look at the genetic properties of the new viruses, how these viruses react with the immune system, and then we make a prediction of which strains are likely to cause flu next year.
So is this based on viruses that are doing the rounds in the southern hemisphere? So when it's their summer and it's our winter here, you know, we're collecting viruses at the moment. Are we going to send them to them for their flu season next year so they can make vaccines?
It often does happen like that, yes. I said the WHO experts meet twice a year, once for the Northern Hemisphere recommendation, and that's in coming up in the next month, and then one for the Southern Hemisphere recommendation, that's usually September. So if you monitor very carefully what happens in the other hemisphere, it's a very good indication what we're going to get next year.
Lots of people are saying, if we're going to have a pandemic of flu, why are people worrying about antiviral drugs that are at best not very good? Why aren't we making a vaccine against pandemic flu?
Well, we are trying to develop vaccines against pandemic flu. There are huge problems in trying to make vaccines against pandemic flu. If we think it's going to be H5N1, there are lots of different varieties of H5N1 there causing infections, lethal infections in birds. Well over six genetic groups have been recognised of H5N1. And you would expect that a vaccine produced from one of these genetic groups may not give you very good protection against another one. So there's no way of knowing which one would actually cause a pandemic in the future.
So it sounds a horrible pun, but you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket, put all your vaccine into one particular type that it might not end up being that type.
Well, that's correct. You don't even know that it's going to be H5N1. It could be an old pandemic virus such as H2N2, which caused Asian flu from 1957 to 68.
I've got an email here from Ryan Bradley who says, I try to hold my sneezes in, at least to have the air coming out of my mouth as opposed to my nose. The reason is I don't like spewing mucus out of my nose onto my hands and other people. The pressure doesn't bother me. So I was wondering if this practice is at all detrimental to my health or if it defeats the purpose of needing to sneeze. What do you reckon?
I think it sounds a little bit dangerous practice to me.
But we've had a call from John in Colchester who says, what about long-haul flights with moving viruses around the world? This must be a major consideration. And are there actually steps taken to sterilise the air on aeroplanes and things like that?
I don't know if there are steps taken to sterilise the air, but certainly talking to people who have been on long-haul flights, they often complain, particularly of respiratory symptoms, after the flights because the air is recirculated. The kind of tourist class syndrome, they think they're getting worse air than the business class. I really don't know the mechanics of this.
Okay, thank you very much, John. That's John Wood. He's from the NIBSC, and he was talking about flu and how we make flu vaccines. Dave.